Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Kind of dawned on me as I was working on this sermon again, it's not the first time, that the scriptures are really put together in just magnificent ways. Sometimes connections that might not have occurred to us reading, and certainly if we were the authors ourselves, but there's a reward for going back regularly. Today, the gospel reading is the reading of the Canaanite woman who comes to the Lord. That begins at verse 21. For context, however, we go all the way back to the first verse of the chapter, which reads like this. Some Pharisees and some teachers of the law came from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Sounds a little ominous, doesn't it? And it probably was. Because you get the feeling that what inspired there, what happened, is a pretty heated discussion of, in this case, the enduring sanctity of the tradition of the elders, which they felt that certainly the disciples were not doing right by. And after that discussion moved, probably people involved moved to a discussion as to who or what is clean and unclean. And it's not like any answer was given finally to that kind of report, kind of a wrap-up or anything. Things just kind of stopped. And then we move to verse 21, which says, "And leaving Galilee, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." Kind of an abrupt change. An abrupt change of place, too. Tyre and Sidon, for crying out loud, that's Lebanon in today's maps. Tyre and Sidon are a long ways away from home church, home turf. What in the world draws Jesus to Lebanon? And I'm sure that's what the disciples were wondering too. What are we doing here? Now, probably helps us understand why the disciples reacted as they did to what comes next, namely this Gentile woman who has the audacity to march her way straight to Jesus. Women didn't do that kind of thing in those days. And kind of like channeling those Pharisees and teachers of the law, the disciples said, "Send her away." I suspect they felt, yeah, she was flaunting cultural and religious propriety by marching right up to Jesus like that, talking to him, wanting something of him. Besides that, this one was certainly not of the daughters of Abraham. Send her away. And I bet they didn't say that with a whisper. Just by the by, a little detour here. I suspect the disciples weren't yet in a position to understand that Jesus might just be preparing them for the day when Jesus would send them, not away, but send them actually to people like people who live in Tyre and Sidon and in Wuhan and in Novosibirsk and in Tehran, clean and unclean, most of them may be unclean. And what the Lord was doing was beginning with this one person who made her own way to Jesus. It is not like Jesus sent the disciples for her, that day will come. She made her own way. It's underway. We started. Now, Jesus did respond to the woman rather gruffly. Maybe that's even too soft a word. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It's not right, therefore, to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Wow. You don't often have in Scripture the kind of thing the disciples said, send her away. Nor do you often have the Lord responding like this. And I just bet you when the disciples heard that, their ears perked up, right? At the same time, the woman, can't believe it, was neither distracted, nor was she deflated, nor was she nor was she driven away. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I think the key word here, and it's the key word for my purposes here, there are several others that qualify. I think the key word here, however, is not dogs, it's crumbs. Crumbs of grace. Crumbs of mercy. Somehow she got it. Somehow she understood. Crumbs. A crumb or two of the Lord's grace was all she asked for. That was sufficient to her. I think at a latter day, Paul may have been channeling, there's a lot of channeling in Scripture, by the way, might have been channeling her. What do you figure? Marvelous scene. But the disciples, I think this was not necessarily a high spot in their years of following Jesus. I have a feeling that had I been among them there, I would have felt that it would be just as well that this whole incident, send her away, be somehow thrown into the trash bin of the world's history. But here it is. It's in the gospel. For crying out loud, it's part of the gospel. Matthew was one of those. Send her away, people. And he puts it in his gospel. It is by miraculous presence of the Lord. His worst hour becomes his finest witness. The Lord responded immediately to her, took a little longer with the disciples, a little longer road of teaching and patience and understanding and forgiveness. And he pulled them along, and I think the high point of that was when they reached the point at which they kind of got it, like the woman did, when they reached the foot of the cross and heard that history-turning prayer of the Lord, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And I think the "they" and the "them" is not only those people responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. I think it is for those whose "send her away" was their own form of betrayal. So, who was the Lord reaching out to in this unexpected trip to Gentile territory? Obviously, the woman who understood the dynamite in the crumbs. You know, that same dynamic, it's not just here in Scripture. You have the feeling, in other words, the trip that Jesus made to Tyre and Sidon was in order for him to be there for her before she even realized. Kind of like, sort of recalls the same thing. The Lord kind of set things up for him to be at that well, so that when this woman with a troubled history came, he was there for her. Kind of like when Jesus was on the cross, and by happy happenstance, there just happened to be another one there in the Lord's crumbs are dropping all over the place. Scripture is full of a lot of these happy happenstances. All of this kind of sounds almost like a parable, doesn't it? And maybe sometimes history works well as a parable. That is, it doesn't just recite facts and names and whatever, it calls people in, like that woman, and like Matthew and the disciples, whose embarrassment and his lack of understanding and continual lack of understanding becomes his witness to this day, to this place, to the clean and the unclean, to the children of Abraham and to the, looks like a lot of Gentiles here. Whether, in other words, the woman or Matthew, whether clean or unclean, whether you or I, we all live by the crumbs. Little crumb of grace goes a long way. In fact, takes us all the way. Little crumb of grace, it's kind of the way the Lord does things too. It's kind of like that doesn't hold a whole lot, but that little bit of water of baptism, a little crumb. Kind of like The bread and the wine that we put out doesn't look like all that much, a crumb of grace. Because the Lord is there. Because the Lord energizes that. Because the Lord comes to us through that. And they are sufficient. I commend you to take this morning's sermon crumb. Don't say crummy. This sermon crumb with you and hang on to it as you continue reading your scripture and see how many crumbs pop up all over that book, and you can read the lives of brothers and sisters around you. Bottom line, treasure the crumbs. In the name of our Lord, amen.
I invite you to stand as you